secret in conspiracies, the fringe and the supernatural. This is a show where we do little to no research on our topics. We are not professionals in any field except speculation. This is the Secret Transmission Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about Guy Fawkes and the Gunpowder Plot. I am your host, Toby, and alongside me are my co-hosts. Please introduce yourselves.
Rudy.
Tyler.
Kristen.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
So, today, we are going to be talking about Guy Fawkes. And this is supposed to be an episode after Halloween, but it's a guy whose face is now very famous as a Halloween costume. Well, not a Halloween costume.
No.
But it's a...
An advocate.
Kinda.
Yes,
Me for Vendetta really put him on the map.
Yeah, yeah. So today, like I said, we are going to be talking about Guy Fawkes and the Gunpowder Plot. That's what made Guy Fawkes famous. Mm-hmm. The Gunpowder Plot was a plan to blow up the House of Parliament during the state opening on November 5th, 1605, killing King James I and lots of other people. So, like I said, like we've already mentioned, V for Vendetta, you may know him. You may know the movie, the comic. It was something that was written by a comic book legend, Alan Moore. If you want to know who Alan Moore is, he's the guy who has wrote Batman the Killing Joke, From Hell, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, a lot of Swamp Thing, The Watchmen, and a billion other titles that he's had.
The Watchmen's good, though.
Yeah, yeah. So Alan Moore's version of Guy Fawkes, well, I mean, Alan Moore didn't come up with it, his artist did, the face, the one that, like,
Anonymous?
I've already messed up, jeez.
Anonymous,
yeah. The one that Anonymous uses.
Plural.
So, it's that mask, it's that face, that's apparently what Guy Fawkes sort of look like. So, a little about Guy Fawkes. Guy Fawkes, also known as Guido Fawkes, was believed to be born in 1570. I don't know if there's an official date for him. I couldn't find one. But back then, you were baptized? Jesus.
Two.
It's going to be a good night.
Yeah. I can't say words.
I was baptized.
So, he was baptized on April 16th, and it's usually you do this within about 3 days of a child being born.
Okay.
So, maybe April 13th, 1570?
So, April-ish.
April-ish, yes. April 1570-ish.
April Fool's Day.
He was born in North Yorkshire, England. He was the second of four children. His parents were Edith and Edward Fox. There's a cat tail on my face. Get out of here, cat. His father... Father...
Three.
You know what, guys? I'm quitting the pod. This is the last episode. All I do is embarrass myself every week.
I'm never reading another script.
Get this guy
again.
A speaking spell. Jesus.
His father died when he was 8 years old. His mother remarried to a Catholic man. He attended St. Peter's School in York. So, it's also very important to bring up, during this time period, Catholics were being punished for their beliefs.
Right, because it was mostly Protestant back then.
Right.
Right.
And in the 1530s, Henry VIII wanted a divorce. This is why it was a Protestant. Like,
oh.
Mostly Protestant. This is a rough summary.
Right.
So, Henry VIII wanted a divorce. The Pope tells him no. It's against the religion. King Henry ended the relationship between the English Church and Rome. In short, he was able to get his divorce, but he also sent the country into a panic. The country ended up becoming a Protestant country and outlawed Catholicism. If you did not attend a Protestant church during this time, you could be fined, and it seems like you would have been a traitor to your country. So basically...
What if you attended? Do you get a sign-on bonus?
No, you just wouldn't be...
wouldn't be persecuted.
Right.
So Henry VIII is like eating a turkey leg going, I do what I want.
Right. I'm Protestant. I can get divorced. Come here, bitches.
But that's basically what it was.
Yeah.
Get me my bathtub.
So several students with Fox, John Rye and his brother Christopher Oswald Tesmond, Edward Oldcorn, and a few others, they all became priests. Oswald Tesmond described Fox as pleasant of approach and cheerful of manner, opposed to quarrels and strife, loyal to his friends. So after Fox left school, he entered the service of Anthony Brown, the first Viscount Montague. What is that word? Montague,
yeah.
I don't understand.
You're here in Texas, it's Montague.
Well,
because there's a county.
The way you have
but
it spelled, it's Montague.
It's probably, yeah.
All these, like...
Or Montague, yeah.
Royals and, like, the upper class, I don't really know all their positions. I just was like, well, this might be important for someone that's trying to learn.
Your problem is you give yourself the hardest to read.
I know. Well, this guy... apparently didn't like him and shoot him off. He was later employed by Anthony Maria Brown, the second Viscount Montague, who succeeded his grandfather at the age of 18. Some sources claim that Fox married and had a son somewhere in between all this, but I didn't really see anything else on it. So there may be a little Fox running around.
Speculation.
So,
like a rabbit, that's what all those anonymous people are. Little God Fox everywhere.
Can you read the thing about his military career?
Let's see how hard it is.
Pyrotechnics expert or whatever.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second.
Jumped the gun there, Rudy.
Always. Yeah. Oh, every episode he has a good where he jumps everything. He's like asking something that I'm going to touch on in a second.
God damn it, that was going to be my conclusion.
Okay, so in October of 1591, Fox sold the estate he inherited from his father. Not sure if this was his actual father or the father that remarried.
Yeah, see, I couldn't find the information to figure out if which father this might be. So maybe stepdaddy or actual father that he inherited this from.
So he fought in the 80 Years' War for Catholic Spain against the Dutch Republic. 80 Years' War was over a heavy level of taxation, and Spain tried to have a policy of strict religious uniformity for the Catholic Church. He fought from 1595 until the Treaty of Vervins, or Peace of Vervins, in 1598. He joined Sir William Stanley, an English Catholic and veteran commander in his mid-50s, who had raised an army in Ireland to fight in Leicester's expedition to the Netherlands. Stanley's had been held in high regard by Elizabeth I, but following his surrender of Deventer to the Spanish of 1587, he and most of his troops had switched sides to serve Spain. Fox became a junior officer and fought at the siege of Calais, in 1596, and by 1603 had been recommended for a captaincy. That year, he traveled to Spain to seek support for a Catholic rebellion in England. He used the occasion to adopt the Italian version of his name, Guido, and in his memorandum described James I as a heretic.
So he's already...
bashing, yeah.
Yeah, he's already upset with politics at this point. Mm-hmm. Which,
so James,
being a Catholic, you know, he's always been probably a little PO'd about the how the country is ruled.
So it says James I was to have all the Papist sect driven out of England. He denounced Scotland and the king's favorites among the Scottish nobles, writing, "It will not be possible to reconcile these two nations, as they are for very long."
So by this time, Fox was described as a man highly skilled in the matters of war. His appearance was a tall, powerfully built man with thick reddish-brown hair, a flowing mustache in the tradition of the time, and a bushy reddish-brown beard.
That was my mustache.
So Guy Fawkes was a ginger?
I'm pretty sure, yes.
That's what you're trying to get at? They were trying to sugarcoat it. So rule number one, if you want to start a war,
be a ginger.
Speak up.
Oh.
No.
I was way off.
Speak up. And start bashing.
We are not in short supply of that in 2016.
No.
He was also a man of action, capable of intelligent argument, as well as physical endurance, somewhat to the surprise of his enemies. So, now we're going to get into some of the gunpowder plot. The gunpowder plot was a group of men who wanted to blow up the House of Parliament and King James I, like I said earlier. King James promised Catholics that he would not persecute any that will be quiet and give an outward obedience to the law. He believed that exile was better than capital punishment. Before the gunpowder plot was ever came up with, several other plots to get the king out of power were tried. So, and I did very minimal research on this, but I just thought it was interesting that this wasn't the first attempt at that time to take the king out of power. There was this plot called the Biplot. The priest William Watson and William Clark planned to kidnap James and hold him in the Tower of London until he agreed to be more tolerant towards Catholics. Cecil received news of the plot from several sources, including the archpriest George Blackwell, who instructed his priest to have no part in any such schemes. Then there was the main plot, which involved removing James and his family and replace them with Arbella Stewart, who was a noblewoman who was for some time considered a possible successor. Amongst others, they approached Henry IV of France for funding, but were unsuccessful. All those involved in both plots were arrested and in July and tried in autumn 1603.
You'd think if they didn't want someone being, like, who didn't want to be part of Catholicism, they'd be, like, just kind of, like, ban them in some way or, like, black them out of everything instead of, like, forcing them. Because you don't want a non-believer.
Yeah, but this, but is, like, this is a different time.
It, and that's...
Well, you gotta remember, it was Catholic until that one king.
Yeah, but isn't that, like false religion? Like, you're just making someone be there that doesn't... I mean... They're not a saved soul if they're
that's what a lot of wars are about, is freedom of religion, right. and that's, I mean...
Isn't that how America, like, all the colonies were founded?
Yeah.
Religious persecution.
Yeah, but it'd be like, bye, see ya, you're on your own then. Well, they you can only, you can try to, like, save them, but you're not supposed to, like, force.
I mean, different religions.
I get it, but...
I don't... I mean...
Different is true.
Huh?
Different religions is true.
Well, I'm just saying, like, some beliefs are, like, it's our beliefs or no.
Okay, it went away. Sorry.
I don't know. I just would more or less, I don't know, I feel like instead of, that takes away from, this is so stupid of me to sit there and go off on, but I feel like it's taking away from the actual church business trying to, like, focus on these people versus being like, okay, let's...
Yeah, and you would think that, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. It's taken away from the church business.
I mean, you know, they're not, like, having time to focus on, like, religion and church. If they're just trying to convert all the time.
Ready? Oh, is this that little...
Well, this... I was going to see if you wanted to read this little poem. I got something later for you to read, but... Oh. Do you want to read this little poem, the 5th of November?
The 5th of November. Let's see. Remember, remember, the 5th of November, the gunpowder treason and plot... I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot. Guy Fawkes and his companions did the scheme contrive to blow the king and parliament all up alive. 60 barrels lay below to prove England's overthrow, but by God's providence him they catch with a dark lantern, light a match, a stick and a stake for King James's sake.
What's a score?
The 60 would have been like 30 barrels. Like a score is like 10.
That's what I said.
Like
people that, yeah.
So that's only because I watched a few documentaries.
This fool.
Hold on, we'll get to all that.
Rolling in 30 barrels.
Hold on.
The town square.
That's actually kind of interesting to know, because he did it in a very clever way. But then again,
I mean, we did have the Trojan horse. I mean.
Right. All right, here's the last little tidbit. Let's see. If you won't give me one, I'll take two. The better for me and the worse for you. A rope to hang the Pope. A pen or cheese? What is that? A pen or cheese to choke him. A pint of beer to wash it down, and a jolly good fire to burn him. Holla boys, really?
Holla back boys.
I make the bells ring. Holla boys. God save the king. Hip hip hooray.
If someone can loop Rudy reading that part and like add a little funky beat to it, I'd appreciate that.
I will smack somebody in my clown suit.
It's gonna happen now.
So, during the gunpowder plot, there were five main people. Robert Catesby, who was the mastermind behind the conspiracy. John Wright was basically like a swordsman, just a good hand. Thomas Wintour was Catesby's best friend and had money and connections. Thomas Percy, he had a family in high places, and he also helped fund the conspiracy. Guy Fawkes, explosions expert from his military days.
Wasn't Percy also the inside guy? Wasn't he also part of Parliament in a way?
I think it was Catesby. Catesby was more of the inside guy.
One of those guys was, I remember that.
So, again, the reason they wanted to blow up the king and everyone else was to reestablish a Catholic monarch government. Oh, sorry. To reestablish a Catholic monarch government and in Church of England. The king was a Protestant and made a speech about how basically Catholics wouldn't be able to get married, own any property, leave wills. They wouldn't even be recognized by the state as they existed. So they were being treated lesser and lesser than everyone else. So that was one of the main pushes that these five got together to destroy the king.
And then Christianity was born. You limit someone, separation of church.
So, the plan was to dig a tunnel under the House of Parliament and set up barrels of gunpowder to blow the king up. So, the tunnel part may have been more trouble than thought.
I was gonna say, I recant my statement. How did no one see him building a tunnel?
But...
What are you doing, sir? Just digging.
A lot of people think this may have been something that was, like, kind of added to the story afterwards to, like, make it more juicy.
Like El Guapo.
Right. So we don't know if it's a myth that the tunnel was being dug and they were just like, fuck this, or if, you know, whatever. So Thomas Percy was able to rent a storage room directly under the Parliament in the Undercroft. So they had like this cement, basically a basement.
There is just stuff wrong with this in all manner.
I know, it's crazy.
You don't rent out freaking storage buildings underneath the king. Who does that?
Well, they did 400
trial
years
and
ago.
Yeah, trial and error.
Right.
We learned our lesson, sir.
So, Guy Fawkes and the other men were able to obtain around 36 barrels of gunpowder and have them placed in the storage room by July 20th, 1605. So, again, back in that time, everything was stored in barrels. You know? So it was...
Booze and gunpowder?
No, everything. I mean, anything...
Spices, tea.
Yeah, so
yeah,
it wasn't really...
They're in the tea party, yeah.
Well, and the barrels they were using looked a lot like rum barrels and wine barrels that were just... Everyone and their brother was moving a barrel around, so nobody thought it was weird.
And there's a lot of stuff happening in this area because, you know, it's like in the middle of a town.
You thought there'd be some kind of like the police would, you know, like start trafficking the barrels. I mean...
Well, they're not going to be suspicious.
They have
of anything.
they cork them and put spouts in them, usually.
Yeah.
Or well, you can lift the top on them.
I mean, if you had two barrels, one with gunpowder, one with wine, how do you know the difference?
But I'm just saying.
You sniff it.
If everything is rolling around in barrels today, do you not think the cops would be like, "Oh, we're definitely doing traffic stops"?
Yeah, no, and no one would ever get anything anywhere.
Guns for everything. They'd be
lifting
all kinds of barrels.
I'm going to dress up like someone from 400 years ago, and I'm just going to roll a barrel down the road,
and no one will know.
I'm going to see if the cops will stop me and go, what are you doing, guy?
Not unless they listen to the podcast. Will they know? They'll be weary.
God, it'd suck if some local cop actually did listen to the podcast. Like, I'm going to be watching for some kids in barrels. Hey. It's wine, officer. Trust me. What's your name? Tom Thomason?
Yeah.
I'm going to a party.
So, they had... The plan was already set that they were going to blow the shit out of the king during the parliament. But... On July 28th, the threat of a little thing caused a delay. That little thing was the plague. The plague.
The plague.
The plague. The one that we all know and love. So they had to cancel.
Is your door marked in red? You can join us in blowing up the king. Come on.
Well, what they did was all the royals, all the higher-ups, they left and went on a summer camp trip or something. They left the country.
They basically took a said they went on a some kind of excursion out in the middle of nowhere where nobody could find them for many months.
So they planned on delaying it from July 28th to November 5th. Remember the 5th of November, just
so,
like the poem says.
So Guy Fawkes survived the plague.
Yes, yeah. No, they all did. So, Guy Fawkes left the country, too, for a short time.
Oh.
And when he came back, sometime in late August, before November, Fawkes and Wintour discovered that the gunpowder in the crop went bad.
Sorry.
So, I watched a documentary, and basically they were like, yeah, gunpowder can, like, get cruddy looking, but it still ignites. Like, they showed
those
it.
Those barrels aren't the best of sealed.
Well, and that's
anyway.
That's what I was thinking as... It's moisture, like they. Who knows what?
Should have got a keg.
So. Anyway, so it went bad.
God, 35 barrels worth? Uh-huh.
So they had to get more gunpowder, and.
In a time like that, where do you get gunpowder from?
Well.
You know, like, that's army, like.
No. At the time, it was pretty. It was still hard to come by, but it was very overflowing.
Plus, they had war connections.
Right. All the people in the conspiracy had connections to someone. They had money. When you have money, you can get anything.
Plus, France was just getting over
the war. Does
it
say how
they?
He has
so
all his money, though? Because, I mean...
Because of the other conspirators. That's right. Why I told you, like, there's parts
funded.
In it. Like, they were fully funded by the five conspirators. Fox was just the boom-boom guy.
Right.
So, they had to get more gunpowder. They brought in... firewood and you know, shit to cover up everything, to kind of hide some of the stuff. On October 14th, Catesby invited Francis Thrush... How do you say his last name?
Thresham?
Thresham, that's right. I remember now. Francis Thresham into the conspiracy. Francis was the son of a Catholic, Thomas Thresham, and a cousin of Robert Catesby. He had a large fortune from his father, but it had been being depleted by the fines, and he had an expensive taste, is what it said. So what I think is he was Catholic too, and he was being fined for being Catholic. So they had Francis join to help buy new gunpowder because they were getting low on funds because they had already bought 36 barrels, so they bought even more. On October 26th, an anonymous letter was sent to a man named William Parker. This is where I got confused. They call this guy William Parker, but in some of my research, they call him Lord Montague?
It looks like it's spelled Monteagle.
Lord Monteagle.
I don't think
so. I don't know if it's the same person... But they call it the Monteagle letter when they talk about this letter. But I'm going to refer to him as William Parker because I couldn't get it cleared up. So, anyways, he got this letter, and it was an anonymous letter, and it was telling him, basically, he shouldn't be at Parliament. Rudy, would you read this letter to us?
My lord, out of love I bear to some of your friends I have... A care of your preservation, therefore I would advise you as you tender your life to devise some
excuse to shift your attendance at this parliament. How the fuck is he writing?
Well, you gotta think of the time and the lingo.
For God and man hath concurred to punish the wickedness of this time, and think not slightly of the advertisement, but retrieve yourself into your retire yourself into your country, where you may expect the event in safety. For there be no appearance of you stir, yet I say they shall receive a terrible blow this parliament, and yet they shall not see who hurts them. This council is not to be condemned, because it may do you good and can do you no harm, for the danger is past as soon as I have burnt the letter, and I hope God will give you the grace to make use of it, to whose holy protection I command you.
So, basically, he was, if you listened, he said, you know, they will receive a terrible blow, you will not see who hurts them, it may be good for you, because he was also a Catholic. So, like, he was dropping a lot of hints without saying, hey, I got some guys, they're gonna blow some shit up. So he took the letter to the Whitehall, whatever Whitehall is, and gave it to Cecil, the Earl of Salisbury. Yeah. I knew that was going to get a laugh for some stupid reason.
Salisbury.
They make a mean steak.
Anyways, he took this letter to Cecil, who told the Earl of Worcester. Uh-huh. God damn it.
Worcester.
But they kept the conspiracy from the Keem, who... Did I say Keem?
Akeem? I knew an African man named Akeem one time.
What is this, coming to America?
Yeah. They kept the conspiracy away from the damn king, who was hunting in somewhere far away and was not expected to be back for several days. I wasn't even going to fuck up that word.
Cambridgeshire?
I wasn't even going to try it.
One of the easier ones to pronounce, Cambridgeshire?
You know what? Y'all were making fun of me for Keem.
You said it.
I know, and y'all made fun of me. So... One of William Parker's servants, Thomas Ward, sent a message to Catesby about Parker handing off the letter. So now our conspirators know about the plot. Mm-hmm. Or know that the plot has been told to the king's men.
Right.
Francis had to convince... Oh, wait.
No one has been able to figure it out.
No one has been able to figure out the identity of who actually wrote the letter, but Francis, the... one of the conspirators, was the main suspect. He actually had to convince the other guys that he didn't do it, but tried to tell them that they needed to abandon the plot. Like, he said, I didn't do it, but you guys should quit. So, Salisbury was already aware of the certain... Sorry, cat. I kicked her. Salisbury was already aware of certain stirrings before he received the letter, but did not yet know the exact nature of the plot or who exactly was involved. He elected to wait and see the events unfold. Like, he wanted to try to figure it out, but this letter helped him out a lot. The letter was shown to the king on November 1st, He gave the order to search above and below for anything that might blow due to the letter. Because, you remember?
Uh-huh.
I said,
you will
you will suffer a severe blow, or whatever it said. So, they took that as a hint. It's like the fucking Riddler in Batman. The Riddler leaves everything for you to stop him. So... On November 3rd, Percy, Catesby, and Wintour had a final meeting where Percy told his colleagues that they should abide the utmost trial and reminded them of their ship waiting at anchor on the Thames.
Times?
Why is that Times? Thames?
It's the Thames River, right?
I don't know.
That's how it's pronounced.
I don't know. I live in America.
A lot of people say Thames. But it's Times.
So, they had a their plan to get out was, you know, basically Fox was going to light it, haul ass to the ship, and boom. November. God damn it.
17.
Yeah, is that really what it is?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm throwing out numbers.
November 4th, Digby was ready with a hunting party at Dunchurch, ready to abduct Prince Elizabeth, because that was one of the things that they were going to do in this plan. They were going to kidnap the princess, and once the king was dead, they were going to convince her to be Catholic, I guess, and because she would be in the line of becoming the ruler, I guess,
right?
Yeah,
yeah.
And I'm not sure who the Digby guy
if no
is.
Brothers, then she'll be queen.
He just started popping up in my research, and I was like, oh, well, there's an extra name. Anyway, so that was part of the plan, was get the princess, keep her safe, and make her Catholic.
Just funny, they were just going to board the ship and then, like, blow it. Like, those ships have, like, super jet power or something. Those things, like, don't even go without, like, rowers and shit, right? Those big old ships, like, back in the day. Wind. Like, the pirate sails. Ships. Yeah, yeah, like, maybe better hope you got some goddamn wind.
Right. No wind, no plot. No escape.
Right?
Give us a second, guys. We're gonna get out of here.
They're moving so slow.
Yeah, I know! That's what I'm saying.
Row! Like, row! Get the damn oars, row!
The guards are sitting on the shore going, really? Really, guys? Come on. We're walking next to your ship. Just stop.
Get out of the boat! No!
Still touching. Still touching.
We ain't touching you.
Percy visited the Earl of Northumberland, who was involved in the conspiracy. Oh, who was uninvolved in the conspiracy, to see if they could throw off the rumors surrounded the letter to William Parker. So they tried to, you know, take... Help me out here. They tried to...
So they dug themselves in a hole and they're trying to convince them that the poem wasn't right.
Well, right? The letters to William Parker, they were trying to say, like, no. Convince everyone that that's nonsense. Percy returned to London and assured Wintour, John Rye, and Robert Keyes that they had nothing to do, they had nothing to be concerned about. That same evening, Catesby, likely accompanied by John Rye and Bates, set off to the Midlands. Fox visited Keyes and was given a pocket watch left by Percy to time the fuse, and an hour later, Rookwood received several engraved swords from a local cutlery. So they were, like, getting ready to defend themselves. Okay? And they had... I mean, this is... Everything is ready to go. So let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll find out what else happened.
It's a real break.
Yeah.
Are you feeling the effects of the PG era? Do you miss the beer drinking and middle fingers? There is a cure for you.
Watch Dog Wrestling!
This is Scotty Stevens.
And this is Blown Star.
We bring you all the action and drama of the Monday Night War.
WWF Monday Night Raw takes on WCW Monday Night Raw 20 years ago.
Interact with us on Facebook and Twitter.
Download us on Podbean, iTunes, and Stitcher.
Hey, this is Nock from the Geek Yogurt Podcast. Tune in every week as we discuss movies, TV, comics, and video games. We are on Podbean, iTunes, Satchel, or on your favorite podcast app. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter at Yogurt Podcast and weigh in on our weekly topics.
We're back now. That's staying in.
Oh, it's not.
Yes, it is, motherfucker.
Then all your stuff upstairs.
I hope you know in one of the more recent episodes, at the very end, I have us singing a Limp Bizkit song at the very end.
Wait, when were we singing a Limp Bizkit song?
Oh, we were singing Rollin' or something for some goofy reason. And so there's a little Easter egg if anyone actually listens to all the way In fact, a lot of the time I do add little Easter eggs at the very, very end, but you have to stay and listen to all the static and shit to get to it. So if you've listened to it, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so back to Guy Fawkes and not Limp Bizkit.
Thank God.
You son of a bitch. So there are two different stories of the events that happened on the search of Parliament. The King story, they basically searched Parliament on November 4th. They found a large pile of firewood in the undercroft beneath the House of Lords. They also found a man who told them that the firewood belonged to his master, Thomas Percy. They left the report. They left to report their findings, at which time the man, who may have been Fawkes, also left the building. The mention of Percy's name brought up a lot of suspicion, as he was already known to the authorities as a Catholic rebel. The King wanted a more thorough search of the area, so late that night, the search party returned to the undercroft, and they found Fawkes dressed in a cloak, a hat, wearing boots and spurs. He was arrested, and when they asked him, "Who are you?" he said, I'm John Johnson." That was his name.
Which, from what I understand, is their equivalent to us saying John Smith.
Yeah. Like, it's a common name back then. So, him saying John Johnson, he wasn't just being like, "My name's Robert Robertson." It's not like it was something stupid like that. It was actually something that was pretty common.
Right. You know, if you don't want to say what your name is, now you just, "Oh, I'm John Smith." They're like, "Shut up, get the fuck out of here."
Yeah, and for any Robert Robertson that I offended out there, I'm sorry. Or, it's not a stupid name.
Or
it's
Tom Thomason that I said earlier. Yeah. You know, I apologize.
Where was I?
John Johnson.
John Johnson. He was carrying a lantern, which is now held in the Ashmolean Museum in Oxford. He had a pocket watch, several slow matches, and Touchwood? What's Touchwood?
Torchwood, maybe?
Yeah, maybe Torchwood. We'll call it Touchwood because that sounds
dirtier.
Sexual.
Yeah.
The barrels of gunpowder were discovered, hidden under the piles of sticks and coal. Fawkes was taken to the King early that morning on November 5th. So, I said there was two stories. Maybe I didn't write down the second story of what happened. But I think
the
it's...
the second telling?
Yeah, from what I understand, the second telling of what happened is pretty similar. After Fawkes, or John Johnson, was arrested, the rumor started to spread that the conspirators traveled northwest to Dunchurch using horses provided by Digby. Thomas Winder stayed in London and even went to Westminster to see what was happening.
Probably a dog show. The Westminster dog show?
Over my head. What?
It's where they have a very popular dog show every year. The Westminster Dog Show. Continue on. My joke just failed on you and everyone else because they're all playing on Twitter and Facebook.
So when he realized the plot had been uncovered, he took his horse and made for his sister's house at Norbrook before continuing to Huntingdon Court. The group of six conspirators stopped at Ashby St. Ledger's, where they met Robert Wintour and updated him on their situation. They then continued to Dunchurch and met Digby. Catesby convinced him that despite the plot's failure, an armed struggle was still a real possibility, so they were maybe discussing going in there and attacking.
Right.
He announced to Digby's hunting party that the King and Salisbury were dead before the fugitives moved west to Warwick, which, that confused me.
Right.
I didn't quite understand why they would say, "Yeah, no, he's dead. He's done.
Yeah, let's get out of here. Come on."
In London, news of the plot was spreading, and the authorities set extra guards on the city gates, closed the ports, and protected the house of the Spanish ambassador, which was surrounded by an angry mob, and arrest warrant was issued against Thomas Percy. Since his name was brought up by Fox.
Or was it Fox? They don't know.
John Johnson. In Fox's first interrogation, he revealed nothing other than the name of his mother and that he was from Yorkshire. A letter to Guy Fox was discovered on him, but he claimed that the name was one of his aliases. Far from denying his intentions, Fox stated that it had been his purpose to destroy the king and parliament, and that he acted alone. So, he wasn't going to rat out his bros. Good man. He ain't no snitch.
But he did after like 3 days.
Yeah. So, November 6th...
Three days of continuous torture might do that to a person.
Yeah, yeah. On November 6th, Lord Chief Justice Sir John Popham figured out the names of some of the conspirators: Catesby, Rockwood, Keyes, Winter, John, and Christopher Wright, and Grant. Fox still tried to convince them he was the only one involved, and he was moved to the Tower of London, where the king had decided that Johnson would be tortured. Like we said, he went through 2 or 3 days worth of torture, and the king wrote a letter that said, "The gentler tortures are to be first used onto him, and thus by steps extended to great ones, and so God speed your good work." So basically, start easy, make it worse as you go. Fox may have been put in manacles. So, like, would that be like handcuffs? Like the big steel?
Like the chain ones from the wall? Yeah.
And hung from the wall, but they believe he was also put on a torture rack by Lex Luger. On November 7th, he confessed, and again, over the next following 2 days, he confessed even more and more. So, they pretty much knew who was involved in everything. So, back to the conspirators, they were on the run, trying to raid places for supplies, not getting any support from anyone because they didn't want to get caught up in all of it. You know, they just tried to kill the damn king. No one's going to be like, yeah, let me help you. Here, hide here. They're not. No one's going to do that.
I had nothing to do with it. Who was that John Johnson guy?
The men were tired and desperate, so they spread out some of the now soaked gunpowder in front of a fire to dry it out. You know, some of that bad gunpowder. Although the gunpowder does not explode unless physically contained. So, like, because it's in barrels, we'll make the explosion. Because it just...
compressed.
Yes.
It's like a firecracker.
Right. So, but when it's just sitting out, it just kind of sparks. So...
wouldn't that be embarrassing?
Well, this is where it gets embarrassing. Yeah. They had it. They were trying to dry it out in front of the fireplace or fire that they had going.
Oh my god!
And a spark landed on it, and the flames completely engulfed Catesby, Rockwood, Grant, and a man named Morgan, who was a member of the hunting party. So it was believed that Catesby had died during this.
I'm sorry, but that's horrible me.
He didn't. John Grant was blinded by the fire, and most of the other guys, they just left. I guess the remaining
men... There's so many signs, okay, right, not to do it, and they're just like full throttle and full force going for it.
Put this gunpowder in front of a fire.
Like, I don't think mastermind is the word for these guys. Like,
see, and I doubt the validity of this story, simply because if you're going to mastermind a plot to blow up parliament and you
it's
almost
like
get away with it.
Three blind mice going to blow up the king.
Exactly. Why why would you do something so idiotic at the end of your run unless you're
well,
just panicking?
They were tired.
They're missing their explosions expert.
I guess. Yeah. There you go.
That's exactly what
35 barrels of drying out and stuff. I mean, I guess it is exhausting. First you gotta roll them into where you're going. Now you gotta dry it all out.
So, most of the guys, I think, gave up, pretty much. And Catesby and Grant and the Wright brothers, Rockwood and Percy, they just, I guess, sat around and waited for the king's men once they gave up. On November 8th, a sheriff and 200 men hit Wintour in the shoulder while he was crossing the courtyard. John Rat was shot, then his brother and Rookwood, whatever. Catesby and Percy were killed by a single shot. Grant, Morgan, Rookwood, and Wintour were arrested. The trial of 8 of the plotters began on January 27th, 1606. The king and his family watched in secret. They were read the list of charges. Fox pleaded not guilty. Obviously, the jury decided otherwise. The Attorney General, Sir Edward Coke, told the court that each of the condemned would be drawn backwards to his death by a horse, so pulled, his head near the ground. They were to be put to death halfway between heaven and earth as unworthy of both. Their genitals would be cut off and burnt before their eyes, and their bowels and hearts removed. They would then be decapitated, and the dismembered parts of their bodies displayed so that they might become prey for the fowls of the air.
Didn't they have a boat?
Yeah.
How did he get in the hell out of the country?
What the hell happened to the boat?
Apparently they didn't sail fast enough.
Yeah. So on January 31st, 1606, Fox was dragged, and his fellow plotters were hung and quartered. I guess quartered is what they were talking about. Like,
wait, where did they have? Where were they drying out the powder at? Was it on their boat?
No. Was, they were on land.
Total giveaway, guys.
So
been funnier on a boat.
Yeah, it would have. So Fox was the last to have all the tortures happen. He asked for forgiveness from the king and the state. Apparently, that didn't do him any good.
I'm really sorry I tried to blow you up. Please, can you give me another chance?
So, due to being weak from torture, the hangman had to help him climb up the ladder to the noose. And this is the part that people don't know what happened. He either climbed up way too high and, like, went higher than what the noose was hung at. Because remember, he was supposed to be hung and almost killed, and then taken off of it, and then tortured, God, and then killed. So
that's where Hangman the Game comes from.
So he may have went up too high, or he jumped intentionally, so he wouldn't just be hung and almost die. It snapped his neck, basically, what I'm trying to get to. Is it broke his neck, he didn't have to do all the rest of the suffering, and, you know, get his junk cut off and whatnot.
Smart man.
Yeah, so it was either an accident and it worked out for him, or he was like, fuck all this.
He was a mastermind of something, because everything else seemed to be failure.
So, even though he was dead, they still did all the quartering to him, cutting him up and doing shitty things to him. Just because. His body was then distributed to the four corners of the kingdom to be displayed as a warning to others who might be traitors. So, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will talk about how the king celebrates November 5th and where the poem comes from and all that good stuff. So we will be right back.
Hey there, fellow podcast fans. Do you love comic books and especially Swamp Thing? Get out of the bayou. So do we. Come check out the Parlapod Show, the world's only podcast dedicated to the muck-encrusted mockery of a man himself, Swamp Thing. This is some serious arcane audio as we chat with comic book professionals, reviews, spoofs, talk about back issues. Everything swampy under the sun happens here. Give us a listen at Parlapod.com, iTunes, SoundCloud, Podomatic, our YouTube channel, and we're on every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern on PodcastRadioNetwork.net. Join your hosts, Dave and John, Parlapod.com. Let's go into the green. We'll see you in the swamps. In the swamps.
Greetings, heathens and harlots. My name is J.D. Blute, and I am one half of your World Intergender Tag Team Champions of the World. Along with my wife, Crises, we are the Crises vs. Blute Show. We are a comedy podcast that focuses on wrestling horror and some amusing personal anecdotes. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Google Play Music, or wherever you get your podcast from. Please check us out.
And we're back. Sick. We are back. Okay, so as I was saying, the king decided that he wanted to celebrate every year on the November 5th, the day that they caught Guy Fawkes and caught all the shenanigans. So on November 5th, 1605, he had the London... How do you say that plural? Londoners?
Londonites?
The
folks of London.
The folks of London were encouraged to celebrate the king's escape from assassination by lighting bonfires.
Which wasn't a very hard escape.
Yeah,
dummies running.
I feel like they try to make it sound a little more heroic. Like, bombs were going off and he's diving out the window like, man, not getting me today.
Like Arnold Schwarzenegger as yeah. king.
So,
you're not going to get me today, conspiracy theorist.
So, November 5th is the Thanksgiving for the Thanksgiving for the joyful day of deliverance. And this was until 1859. Out of the 13 conspirators, Fox is the most known of the failed plot. The day was also called Guy Fawkes Night, Guy Fawkes Day, Plot Night, and Bonfire Night.
That's a lot of nights.
Yeah, well, they, you know, different names.
Yeah.
So, there is a conspiracy on this. Salisbury, or Salisbury Steak Man, supposedly, he's the one that set it up, because he was the king's, like, right-hand man, I guess, and basically did it to, you know, be like, hey, man, I'm your man, man. So, and also to kind of...
reinforce anti-Catholic views,
yes,
maybe?
Yes, exactly. So, yeah. it was going to be like a double win for... If that's the conspiracy's true. So, I actually watched a documentary about... what would have happened? Because a lot of people are like, no, it wouldn't have hurt anyone. It wasn't enough. Well, this documentary, they recreated the entire basement with and the basement had like 7-foot wall cement of that time, a type of cement wall, and they put the same amount of gunpowder that was reported. I mean, they recreated the whole thing. It's a documentary called The Gunpowder Plot Exploding the Legend. I recommend it. But
yeah, it's really good.
Did you watch it too? Yeah. Holy shit.
They went to a military base because of the sheer amount of explosives they wanted to detonate. It was the only place in England they could find that would do it.
When they found out how much they were about to... Like, they tested one barrel of gunpowder to see how big the explosion would be. So...
Yeah, but... Our gunpowder is probably more advanced than theirs was.
They did it exactly. It's the same gunpowder that we've used that whole time.
They found a guy. They found a guy who like studied the recipes of the gunpowder.
I was
gonna say,
how do we know? Because,
but
nobody saved anything.
So they exploded one barrel, and they had an explosions expert analyze the explosion, and they were like, "I don't know. We may not be able to do this experiment because the blast may be too dangerously big," and. They had to scoot their whole base back, like, a big, huge amount. And it was pretty cool. The blast, no one would have survived. In that whole building, no one would have survived. So, yeah, I think
so didn't Guy Fawkes, he detonated it?
No. Guy Fawkes didn't detonate it. That's the king got away, remember?
Then he didn't get away from nothing if he didn't detonate it.
No, he did. The king, they caught Guy Fawkes before he set off the explosion.
That's what I'm saying. A true getaway is if it's going on.
Right. But, like, these guys, they recreated it and showed
what it would have been like.
And it would have killed everyone in sight.
It was a hell of a blast, that's for sure. Because there were other little buildings around it at the time, too.
So, I also want to talk about the ties with Anonymous. Because, again, it's the Guy Fawkes mask. Anonymous has picked up the mask as its face for the group. Most people describe the group as hackers or hacktivists. They are more like a resistance group or anti-establishment group. One of the websites that they are associated with describes them as an internet gathering with a very loose and decentralized command structure that operates on ideas rather than directives. So there's not one person in charge. Like, they all come with their ideas together and figure out, like, what they want to...
take down, pretty much.
Take down, go against.
So, like, they consist of little groups? Like, we could just be like, hey, we're Anonymous, let's go hack
Yeah,
something.
No, we could. If we wanted to start our own sect of Anonymous, we could.
Or, like, they've little taken splinter down some... cells of hacker groups.
They've taken down some big things,
I'm down.
So.
Yeah.
I love some of their videos things. And some of the things they've leaked, man. It's just been great.
So, for the most part, Anonymous opposes internet censorship and control, and they usually target governments, organizations, and corporations they believe are trying to censor or generally do wrong. Because there is no leader, membership is open to anyone who wishes to state that they are a member of the collective. Now, they do organize in some way to plan together, but no one person is in charge, like I said. They have a few rules. Don't disclose anyone's identity, don't talk about the group, and do not attack media. They often use the tagline, "We are Anonymous, we are Legion, we do not forgive, we do not forget."
Wait a
Expect
minute. They've,
us.
They've definitely attacked the media.
They've called them out.
Yeah, but they've also hacked
if they've done
through
wrong,
them.
Yeah.
They've also hacked through them to attack the media, and they even had it to where they attacked them so well one time that they reopened a criminal case because they were reporting wrong on it.
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember that.
I like the Anonymous group.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
So, are we saying we support Anonymous?
Oh, absolutely. 100%, man.
I mean...
I do.
Now, taking down our gaming world, no, but...
That was Lizard Squad.
Yeah, that wasn't...
No,
Anonymous.
They did it too, though. The Anonymous people did it too.
I don't think... I think it was a...
I thought they took down PlayStation one point in time. Anonymous did.
It was Lizard Squad. They took down Xbox One and PlayStation.
I thought that was just, like, someone just... I'm sure.
I thought that they said that it was Anonymous saying pretty much, hey, look, we can nothing. That I always heard that Anonymous was pretty much against like media and like political, but also they were ones to be like, hey, you think your shit's safe and it's not. Look, we hacked it within this amount of time and took it over and now you can't use it. That's what I always heard.
I don't know.
See, I've never heard of Anonymous doing that. I've always heard of them being the ones that will go after big people who are doing very, very
pretty
bad
sure
things.
Lizard Squad's a lot like that, though.
Right.
Really? They may be a small sect of I don't know. But, like, that's why you always see people wearing Anonymous masks when they're protesting anything.
See, that was a thing, too, though. I see a lot of pictures with the Anonymous masks turned backwards, so that means they're showing their face, but I thought Anonymous was all about not showing their face.
Yeah, it's... Well, it's...
But you see a lot of pictures where their mask is turned around, and they're showing their face.
That's why a lot of the people who protest are probably not part of Anonymous at all. They're just wearing the mask to, quote-unquote,
Yeah,
rebel.
Even in the documentary, they wore their mask.
Right.
It's more of a symbol...
Or they were blacked out.
Yeah.
It's more of a symbol as... Well, okay. Like, Alan Moore, the guy that created V for Vendetta, said this about Anonymous using the V for Vendetta mask. I was also quite... Here, you read that.
Isn't it the Guy Fawkes mask? Like it's,
yeah.
And V for Vendetta came out.
I'll let you read all that. I was also quite heartened the other day when watching the news to see that there were demonstrations outside this... Scientologist headquarters over here, and that suddenly flashed a clip showing all these demonstrators wearing V for Vendetta Guy Fawkes masks. That pleased me. That gave me a warm little glow.
But he's thinking of it in a different manner.
Well,
like
it's just like people gathering together and standing up for what they believe in is kind of what the mask stands for now. And even though, like, yeah, they're attacking whatever, it's more of a
Didn't they hack Scientology at one point?
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. So, according to Time, the protesters adoption of the mask has led it to become the top-selling mask on Amazon, selling hundreds of thousands a year. On May 23rd, 2009, protesters dressed up as V and set off a fake barrel of gunpowder outside Parliament while protesting over the issue of British MPs' expenses. The artist for V for Vendetta, David Lloyd, stated, "The Guy Fawkes mask has now become a common brand and a convention place card."
Convenient.
I knew I'd messed it up. That's why I was like, wait a minute. Became a common brand and a convenient place card to use in protests against tyranny, and I'm happy with people using it. It seems quite unique and an icon of popular culture being used this way. Also, there's a lot of myths going around that it's actually illegal to wear the Guy Fawkes mask. That's in the United States anyway. I couldn't find anything on that being true. So if anyone's like, it's illegal to conceal your identity, it's not.
No, it's not.
So wear it away. So anyways, that's all the Guy Fawkes, the gunpowder plot, and where the anonymous mask comes from. The funny thing about it is, Anonymous is so anti-establishment, anti-corporations, except Warner Brothers owns V for Vendetta, which is a big company, and they pump out those masks and sell, like I said, hundreds of thousands of them a year. I don't know. Is that a little ironic, or...
Well, whoever owns the rights to the mask, have they done anything to piss off Anonymous? You know, to warrant any wrath or non-use of the mask?
No. I mean, like I said...
What if they already own Anonymous?
Yeah.
What if Anonymous owns them?
Alan Moore and David Lloyd, the writer and the artist, are both like, yeah, use it. Like, right. We completely support it.
They're like, that's cool.
So, any last words on anything?
Not really. It's just an interesting little tidbit in history.
Yeah, you can see where
it makes the movie a lot gives the movie a lot more sense, and the comic is kind of its little place in history.
Well,
you know, blowing up Parliament and all that stuff.
You know, and people can say like that Guy Fawkes and his merry band of bandits were trying to do good, but really they were doing. They basically, when it comes down to it,
they were terrorists.
Right. Mm-hmm. Thank you for saying it, because they were.
I mean,
they wanted their religion over another religion, and they didn't like.
No, I thought the whole point was that they just wanted separation of religion.
No. They wanted to overthrow the government and get rid of the religion that was in play and put Catholics back in power completely. They didn't want to like be like, hey, let's share this land.
Well, see, my understanding of it was they wanted their religion to be treated as equal as the other religions.
Man,
that's how I took it.
The way I see it, there's a very fine line between, you know, justice and terrorism. And
yeah, I feel
like... I'm confused, because I thought that they didn't even... That he was against Catholicism. I didn't know.
No, he was for it.
He was pro-Catholicism.
Yeah.
It was the government that was Protestant.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's...
All because the one guy wanted to get divorced. That's what started it all. Because he was Catholic originally.
And the majority of the country was Protestant. So, here's the problem. Let's say that everything went to how they wanted. Guy Fawkes set everything off. They blew everything up. You still got, like, 80% of the country is Protestant. Do you think that you're going to be able to overthrow the government? So, it almost... Fear. I don't know. It just seems like...
Fear's a powerful motivator until, you know, other people become more scarier than you.
Yeah, but, I mean... Just,
am I wrong?
Okay, but
I
mean, think... Okay. Here's a good example. When 9/11 happened,
uh-huh.
All the Americans were like, all right, I'm going over there. I want to shoot me some people. Don't you think that's what the Protestants would have done? There's no way that the Catholics could have overthrown...
Well, not necessarily. That was 400 years ago. That was a different frame of mind.
Yeah, I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it'd be hard for that small percentage of Catholics to rise up against the Protestants. I don't know. Again, this is a what if. This is Earth 2 nonsense. I'm just asking, but I don't know.
Yeah. It's kind of one of those who would be more courageous in that regard, the Catholicist terrorist or the 80% of the population would be like, "You know what? I'm tired of this bullshit. If, you know, kick him out. Get him out right now."
Yeah.
You know, which one? Which one do you go for at that point?
I mean, we'll never know because that explosion never happened.
Right. Could have saved a whole lot of headache. Wasn't there an issue with the king? Also, they really didn't like him because he was either part Irish or Scottish?
Ooh, I don't know.
One of the documentaries mentioned that he wasn't very liked, even though he fit in with the majority of the people. He wasn't liked by a lot of the people because he kind of sort of was technically an outsider.
Hmm,
I want to say it was Irish. I want to say he was...
But he still managed to have... be in the runnings to be a king?
Yeah. Weird. Yeah. He had somehow had claim to the throne, and a lot of people didn't like it. But I can't remember the details on that. There was an issue with that, too.
I think I remember something like that. I remember a lot of the stuff from history, like the whole... him switching from Catholic Protestant. To...
From
Catholic to Protestant because he wanted to divorce his wife.
Uh-huh. And that's, there was probably more to it, but that's the short story of it all, instead of getting real drug out into the details.
Right.
But...
because, you know, 2-3 weeks ago when I researched this, I remembered all that. And I know. I was too busy fearing for my life being dressed as a clown earlier to remember all the details.
And that's our explanation of Guy Fawkes and the Gunpowder Plot. Next week, we're going to be doing an episode on Malaysia Flight 370. So come back next week. Give us a rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. You can also find our show on Stitcher, Google Play, and YouTube. Just search for Secret Transmission Podcast. You can hear us on Sundays at 10 p.m. Eastern on the Podcast Radio Network. Just go to podcastradionetwork.net. You can leave us a voicemail, 304-602-7444. You can follow us on Twitter, at Secret Transpod, or you can send us an email, secrettransmission@hotmail.com. We hope you come back and listen to us try to explain the unexplainable.